soon I'll share some stories from the trails in Colorado and that kind of thing. But this is February 7th, 2025, riding at 7:23 p.m. Isaiah 64, 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are, the work of your hand. Today was a great beauty. I did a water change on my large fish tank, which one day I will take measurements of, followed by some tinkering. Then I fiddled with a few more things, listened to the gospel according to Matthew along the way, all which led to a run, which was the goal, since the sun's rising. And the route which sometimes I run runs along the wilderness lines of the neighborhood. I had different times and different seasons like to embrace and enjoy for a day, which will one day draw near, a place in which I grew up will be homes for many, or schools or businesses. My run turned into a walk, which turned into the Lord guiding my feet. So I walk to and fro without destination or end in mind. I aimlessly walk, enjoying the beauty and what Christ has made, even in such a small portion, the variety and vastness, from the low-hanging yet tall-breaking cedar thickets in which the coyote most definitely call home, to the cedar grasslands where the coyote devour many and which they find, to the creek beds which are like jungles and swamps, and whatever lies in between, to live oak hollow woods, from their green drainages, to the beaver's creations, to the swamp, watching mallard drakes swim aimlessly. It's such a beautiful sight. And from there, a spot I enjoy to pray, I call it the Ben of Devers, which hold as a refugee and staple in the beautiful heart of the woods I call home. So along my way, after chewing a wild onion, watching the drake swim to and fro, I noticed a little bug along the edge of the swamp. Probably like a stink bug. It's black with red-tipped wings. And at first I noticed one, and it brought a distant memory around this time, maybe a month or so later, a year ago. I found one just like this one, and he sat and crawled around on my skin. And when I sat near, where I was, this little fella turned up to be. And once I saw one quickly became three, and then three became 30, and so on and so forth. And at this time, the mallard drakes had already flown away, so I took the time and just watched these little stinkers. Some rolled little seed balls, others were hanging around in limbs, some were in little pods. Guess they were singing or plotting murder or something in between. And for a while, I just watched, and I couldn't help but laugh, because it really is the small things in life that mean the most. And after I began to depart from the little colony of all these little bugs, I looked closely as if I could spot their home as well as every step. I like these little stinkers, and I'd hate for Frank to never make it home. So after I finally made it out of stinker territory, I continued along the east side, now more in the marsh, being cautious of my path. One false step, you're waist high in blackland mud. If If you're wearing Crocs, you might as well dive in head first in hopes of rescue. But nearing my resting place, I grabbed a handful of gold and diamond black clay, which, a combination, it's like concrete and mortar with a touch of ash or carbon. So I guess with the ball in my hand, I continued to the bank, and then quietly, as I try and keep my presence low, that the refugee is not to be on high alert and afraid, I sat down where a piece of an old jailhouse Bible I left a year or so ago, well, it looks just like that, becoming one with the earth. And with my clay in hand, I take a deep breath as the southwest wind slaps me with its fresh, brisk air, which is surrounded by the humidity of what Sutherland had touched after swirling in from Colorado. And it took a moment. The clouds were somewhat low and somewhat poofy, with an orange half-down glow as the day's light slowly but surely comes to a close. And the blue jays squawked back and forth, and songbirds all around sang their song as they liked. And I began to break on the carbon from a fire a few months prior, and I remembered, God is a provider. So mixing, meadling, and kneading my clay, it reaches a dark gray, perfect mix as I begin to make a cross. After all my travels, I was glad to sit and think, and at times talk with the Lord. And after rolling and mixing what was probably half an hour, I began to form the cross. Just the beam which he hung from for me. And I, after at least another 15 minutes or so, I finally got to throw in another square of clay and flipped it the right way. And with another, I don't know what I was saying. And with another man in line, I could have said, "Stick 'em up, partner. This here's a robbery." Sure, it was funny. And quickly, after that, I added another side. Oh, the clay looked like a gun. And then, as the sun began to go down low, still with the daylight, I finally finished that cross. I then knew I needed to form a base. Quickly, not much light was remaining, but the clouds, they glowed a beautiful, beautiful pink. I never looked behind me to see the sun set. Then, I saw a can of chicken and dumpling soup, which sat from a few months prior. And again, I thought to myself, God is a provider. So quickly and easily, I form a circle of clay, which, and using the bottom of the can, I make a hole, one somewhat like the one they probably raised his cross up into the day he died for me. Then I sprinkle some dirt on top of it. It was time to get artsy. So returning to the cross, which sat against the log, half burnt, edging the water, I thought a crown of thorns would do this piece nicely. So I looked to my right and immediately saw a red, mean, aggressive vine waiting to be used rightly. Once again, I remembered, God is a provider. So, wrapping the thorns around the cross's head, I, as I recalled, making an altar before the Lord in a similar manner before. These thorns, which were aggressive and which against my bare hands should have brought suffering. Preparing for the Lord, assumingly, like on that day that he died for me. They were harmless. And while applying the crown, I had trouble. I couldn't seem to get them to stick or stay. Then I remembered God, Lord Jesus, in his hand, in his head, excuse me. The thorns were pressed. Truly, after pressing in just one piece, the crowning thorns, they sat just right. And finally, as the birds hushed their singing and the light grew dim, I clothed the cross in some little cedar tree leaflings, some gray, but most a pretty orange. And as I finished and stood up, I turned around and through my already known route, made my way out to the pasture, thanking he for the beauty of the pink and purple hues that came from the sun's final light, which would seem just moments before colored the clouds, and running some sinking in the pasture, I just looked in awe. As the pasture in its fullness was green, green as it could be. And though dim, there along with the pink and purple glow, throughout the field stood thousands of little purple flowers, from left to right, in the fullness of the pasture's face. I had to stop and look in awe. It was just seemingly perfect. And standing freshly on the night sky, stood the star of the Lord bright and low, moving to and fro. And I looked up, and behind me I saw the moon, and two lesser than stars, and smiled, and just thanked the Lord my God, who reminded me, I am coming. And the moral would be, as I meddled with that clay, it took a long, long time to work out every bump and lump. And it took a long time to get the basic shape just right. Even what was needed, even before it was ever shaped. But at the end, after every blemish and rump and bump and stick and rack, I guess, you know what I'm saying, and things that didn't belong, rock, is what I said, and things that didn't belong were removed. There was the cross in which I made, ever clothed in beauty. In our walk with him today, I was reminded, though I don't understand and though I don't know how he is trying to shape me, at the end of the day, he will clothe me in power. He will clothe me in righteousness. He will bring what was just a lump of mud into a new, beautiful creature. And I just had to give him the time. I have to be patient. There is no rushing the process. There is no, can we skip to the end? No fast track. Patience. It is a virtue. Blessed is the Lord our God, Jesus. Blessed is Christ who bore all my sin and infirmities and wickedness, which was great, and bled out on that tree. For apart from him, I am nothing. And Jesus,